And then they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we have the gospel of the end of the world again this Sunday, the first day of the church year. And last Sunday we had the gospel of St. Matthew, but even today, as we have the annual observance of Advent and remember our Lord's first coming as a helpless child, we are also told by the church to reflect upon his second coming, which will be quite different from the first. He will come to judge the living and the dead, as we say in the creed over and over again. So there is a connection between those two, obviously, because both are a coming. Both are an advent. The Latin word for coming is adventus. So a juxtaposition of two things, different in some ways, but alike in other ways. So let us reflect that there will be, of course, an end of the world one day. I'm asked often, or at least from time to time, Father, do you think we are living in the end times? I say, I do. And my reason for that is that one of the signs that will precede the coming of our Lord is spoken of in 2 Thessalonians by St. Paul, where he talks about the great falling away. And the word apostasia is used in the original Greek, in which most of the books of the New Testament were written. That's where we get the word apostasy from. And when we see the continued ruination of Catholics in the new religion, the Vatican II, we have to conclude that this is the great falling away. I can't imagine what else it could be. So we are living in that time. Now, I don't have a timetable, though. This is where, so people will ask me questions like, how much more long do we have? Will we ever have a true pope again? My answer is, I don't know. But what I do know is that great falling away has happened. What's interesting is that St. Paul believed that he was living in the end times. He believed that it was imminent. And that was almost 2,000 years ago. What's so interesting about 2 Thessalonians is that many of them apparently, because they were expecting our Lord to come, stopped making plans, stopped living, you might say. And so St. Paul had to chastise them for that. As a matter of fact, he uses those very harsh-sounding words, if a man will not work, let him not eat. Because that's where the point they had gotten to. Why plant any crops this year? Why plan ahead at all? The coming of Christ is imminent. So St. Paul told them, you have to still live. You still have to make plans. Put it in God's hands as to when that second coming will happen of our Lord. So I think that's very wise advice for us too. We have to still live. We still have to make plans, obviously adjust them as circumstances change. And obviously what never changes is the living of our faith and striving to become holy. There's something in last Sunday's gospel too that I want to talk about, and that it doesn't occur in this Sunday's gospel, where St. Matthew says, as a matter of fact, let me read it to you exactly. And I find this very, very instructive. Our Lord, or St. Matthew tells us, quoting our Lord, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all the tribes of the earth mourn. So, what will appear in the heavens is the sign of the Son of Man. What is that sign? It's the cross. What else could it be? And our Lord says the tribes of the earth will mourn. Why? Because they were enemies of that sign. They were not friends of that sign. They were not believers in the sign. And hence, it will be to their condemnation. Many will have rejected the cross in life. And therefore, they will be sad to see it. But those who have carried their cross, those who strove to sanctify themselves through the carrying of the cross, they will not be afraid of the cross. As we know, it's the very symbol and sign of our Catholic faith. Whenever you see a cross, that means somebody who believes in God, who became man and died on the cross to redeem us. One of the very fascinating chapters in St. Matthew's Gospel is chapter 16, in which our Lord asked them, who do men say that I am? And the apostles all said, well, some believe you're this, some believe you're John the Baptist, some believe you're Elias. And he said, who do you say that I am? And it's St. Peter who says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Lord is very pleased with his act of faith. And he takes that occasion to say, one day, Peter, I will found my church on you. And I'm going to make you the rock on which I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, the Catholic Church will last till the end of time, no matter what tribulations, persecutions, trials may happen. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. This is why we see one example of how the keys are used is indulgences, where the gates of heaven are sooner unlocked for us or for the souls in purgatory because of that power of the keys that a true pope has. But then our Lord goes on, after St. Peter's wonderful act of faith, he goes on to say, I am going to go up to Jerusalem one day, I will be scourged and spat upon, and I will die upon the cross, or words to that effect. And St. Peter, who is now his first pope designate, not pope yet, never forget that, he didn't become pope until after the resurrection, St. Peter says to our Lord, Lord, far be it from thee to do this. No doubt he felt a little emboldened because I'm going to be your vicar. And in that same 16th chapter where our Lord promised him the primacy, he now calls him the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. What a contrast. What St. Peter was saying to our Lord is, Lord, don't follow the hard way. Do the easy thing. You're God. You can do it all. You can, make it very easy for yourself and for us. And Jesus said, when you savor the things of the world, you are acting like the devil. I'm sure that kept St. Peter very humble his entire life. Also the sins and slip-ups that he committed, not the least among them, the denial of our Lord under oath. So our Lord also took that occasion after rebuking St. Peter, is to say, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what a real follower of Christ is. And again, this must not have made sense to the apostles, because the death by crucifixion was the worst kind of punishment meted out to the worst kind of criminals. And here our Lord is talking about carrying the cross? What sense could that have made to them? But of course, it all made sense after our Lord himself carried the cross. So there's a three-part aspect of being a Christian: to deny yourself. What does that mean? It means we have to keep God's commandments. We have to deny ourselves to keep God's Ten Commandments. If any man will come after me, that's the choice that every person must make. I will be a follower of Christ. Yes, I will follow God's commandments. I will deny myself. I will do penance for my sins. I will strengthen myself against sin by mortification. And we see today is the beginning of the penitential season of Advent. So a greater emphasis on self-denial. But throughout our lives, we have to deny ourselves. Otherwise, we will fall into sin. But then our Lord says, take up your cross. Take up your cross. What is that? That's all the sufferings that we would not take upon ourselves, but God, in his infinite wisdom, and the saints would say his infinite love, the sufferings that he allows to befall us. And those are so sanctifying. And they bring about so much good. That's why St. Louis Marie de Montfort would say, he who understood the cross so well, when things were going well for him, he didn't like that. He said, it's such a cross not to have a cross. Now, that's how a saint talks. Now, we probably aren't there yet, but at least we have to pray for the grace to patiently bear our crosses. And realize God is working through all the sufferings, all of the physical trials, the spiritual, the mental trials, the emotional trials, the frustrations of life. All of these are the cross that we need to bear. But our Lord also adds that third thing, which is the summit of the spiritual life. We could even say that the three stages of the spiritual life are illustrated in that one sentence. Our Lord says, follow me. In a sense, all three of those things are the same thing, but our Lord makes that clear distinction between the three aspects. Again, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And that fits in beautifully, I believe, with what we heard at the end of today's epistle, where St. Paul talks about, after he says, walking becomingly and avoiding very common sin at the time, revelry and drunkenness, debauchery and wantonness, partyings, abuse of pleasure, alcohol, etc., etc. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. What does that mean? Imitate his virtues. Get closer to him. That's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. What beautiful words we are given at the beginning of the Advent season. I want to be sure to share with you one that important historical event that took place in year 312. Long time ago, I know, but it was the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. We can actually locate where in Rome this great battle happened between the army of Maxentius and the army of Constantine. Whoever won this battle was going to be the emperor, not just of the Western Roman Empire, which had already divided into two parts, but probably rule the entire Roman Empire. So it was between Maxentius and Constantine. And Constantine was the better man, a man more pleasing to God, although he was not a Christian yet. And he was favored with a vision the night before the battle. And in this vision, he saw the cross in the sky, and he saw the Latin words, in hoc signo vinces. In this sign, you will conquer. And he recognized this was a direct communication from God to him. And so that night, he had the Roman standards and adorned with the cross. So, and you know, the standards and flags that they would carry into battle were very important. They would not only show where the troops, where they would be before, and especially during the battle, they would also be a rallying point. So he had the cross put on all these standards and banners of his army. And sure enough, the next day, he won. And the message for all of us is, yes, in this sign, we too will conquer. I'm not talking about physical battles, but the spiritual battles we have to fight. The cross is our source of inspiration, our victory. It is in this sign. It is in our carrying of the cross and honoring of the cross that we too will conquer. We'll conquer our spiritual enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So let us, with good earnestness and intent, let us begin this Advent season, and let the words of St. Paul resound in our memory. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Become more like him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.